True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What the hell is he talking about? You know, maybe he's on a different level, McGenius guy, whatever the hell he is, nerd boy. But anyway, their team has no respect for the coach. They play like that. They're like, come on, man, get us a dang guy in here. Where's the physicality of this team? What did you say?
They're soft.
Like, yeah, I'm with you on that. Every part of their football team. They have tons of talent on this team. Daniel, we were talking, that's why you picked them to win. Because they have tons of talent. Yeah. They don't play with any passion or any smoke to them.
This is WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens.
And three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Rex Ryan. Former Bills and Jets coach jumping on the bandwagon of those criticizing the Dolphins, Mike McDaniel, the sinking ship. There's a lot of blood in the water right now in Miami. A lot of people think that season is already over, that I think he was the favorite first coach fired. We were even looking up today. Bobby Slowick could be the interim coach at whatever time that comes. So they're a desperate football team down there in Miami, and there are a lot of people questioning whether they – even want to win, whether they're even invested in winning.
Well, they had a bad offseason.
Yeah.
It was just an offseason in turmoil. So they traded Jalen Ramsey, wanted out. Tyreek Hill was getting in, had his issues. It just was not a buttoned up operation.
And they've lost some leadership down there. So that's the question is, we all put it in our email, and Dan pounced on this immediately, as he does, because he's very observant as the brains behind this operation. He's like, you all kind of said or insinuated the Patriots should be better than the Dolphins, right? Question mark. Or this is a team they should be able to bounce back against. But why do we have hesitancy? If the Dolphins are such a mess, why do we have hesitancy predicting the Patriots That's to easy. Bounce back and take advantage of it?
That's easy.
What?
Their record is 2-10 in Miami in the last 12 years. 2-10. Tua has never lost to the Patriots. So that right there is should stop you right in your tracks.
Tua's never beaten the Mike Vrabel coached Patriots.
That's fair. But there's
has never played them either. But
touche.
There's evidence in recent history would show you that the Patriots don't ever play down there. They don't play well down there. My last game in Miami, we lost and we were 14-2 that year.
Yeah,
in 2004, and still lost. And those ugly orange uniforms they beat us in.
Oh, I love those. What do you mean ugly?
Those were
you like
hideous.
Those?
Oh, I love the orange.
Like yeah, well, yeah, that's like the night that Brady threw. That's the night that Brady threw the ass pass.
Yep.
He fell on his ass and threw a pick. Right.
He looked very Josh Allen there.
So just the history of the two teams. But you're to me, based on what I've seen from these two teams to start the season, and what I heard about the Dolphins all offseason, the Patriots should win this game. They should win this game.
Should will.
I don't know. I can't tell you that with any certainty.
Wow, you don't have a lot of faith in the Patriots then, right? Because we're talking about the Dolphins are dead team walking.
Did you leave that week one game the Patriots had against Las Vegas and feel good about this team?
No.
Yeah, I don't know how you can feel good about the Patriots' chances. So, I mean, I'm skeptical to say that they're going to win.
Let me ask you a question, Fitzy, about the quarterback position. I believe in the sport of football, it's very important. And theoretically, the Dolphins have a significant advantage, correct? They have a $200-and-whatever-million franchise quarterback who is 7-0 against the Patriots. I heard Mike Vrabel tell me how accurate he is, gets the ball out on time.
Ball out fast.
Catchable ball, all these things, run after catch. If you were a Dolphins fan, Fitzy, would you feel good about your quarterback situation or matchup in this game?
Sure wouldn't, because my quarterback got benched on the road week one in Indianapolis against the Colts, who are predicted to finish fourth in the AFC South. And knowing full well how fragile Tua is, regardless of the fact that he's never lost in his pro career against the Patriots, I sure as hell wouldn't feel good about this, especially considering running backs are banged up. You had to start Ollie Rogers last week. Maybe Achan is well enough to play this week. Your receivers are all dinged up from Tyreek to Waddle. And their offensive line is a freaking disaster. And
yeah, the right
we
side.
All know how, yeah, it's a mess. And they picked up, I mean, it's so bad. How bad is it, Fitzy? They picked up Cole Strange off the freaking Browns practice squad. That's how bad it is. Nobody down there should be confident.
Tua had 23 dropbacks against the Colts, in which he threw two interceptions and were sacked three times. That's not good, man. I mean, he looked like a ball in high grass to start that game. Lost.
I knew the answer to that
he
one,
knew
baby.
He knew it. He was lost, man. So, I don't know. Something is going on. The ball wasn't coming out. He was holding the ball, and he was just horrible interceptions. So, usually against the Patriots, he doesn't have those problems. It's like they have sliced up the Patriots.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting game because the Patriots, anywhere you can listen, are talking about starting fast. I heard Mike Vrabel say it multiple times. I heard Drake May say it multiple times, which I think, you know, you always want to start fast. But against this Dolphins team, if you can give them a reason to say, oh, boy, here goes another one. Pack it in. It's hot out. I don't even really want to play. Maybe turn the crowd on the home team, that kind of situation. If you can go down 7 points, oh, 10-0 Patriots. Oh, my God, we're losing to the Patriots. This team can't even score. They never win games. We're losing at home. I think that would be huge. But the flip side of that is, Fitzy, we're just talking about Drake May. Is he overwhelmed? Is there too much on his plate? And Ted just told me a great football team led by Tom Brady went to Miami and lost. Like, it's a tough place to play. It's going to be hot. It's going to be weird. It's going to be things tend to happen there. Is Drake May ready for that road trip?
Better be, regardless of.
I felt the confidence in that statement.
Honestly. Well, think about like all the things you have going against you.
Is this parachute strapped on? It better be.
there is the working knowledge of what a house of horrors it's been, and that this is their football Bermuda Triangle. It's going to be in the 80s. Miami specifically has the away team play line up on the side where the sun comes in, so they cook the whole time. Oof. They wear the white jerseys. They make the away teams wear the darker jerseys. Like, all these little factors will come into play. And last year, Drake doesn't exactly have the most necessarily comforting memory of there. What was it, 35-0 at the half, and it wasn't that close?
Yeah.
The only touchdown he got was that Chuck Mary to Austin Hooper at the one where he rolled into the end zone. That game was disgusting last year.
The one thing I will say is for Drake, it sounds like he's actually looking forward to the heat. Did you hear him mention in his press conference, it's been getting a little cold around here, so, and I was like,
uh-oh,
wait, you think it's already getting cold? Has it been less than, I don't know, 67 at practice yet, and you think it's cold?
Hey, buddy, wait till your next November when you're, like, you get that white knuckle. Ted, what was it like the first time that you had, like, a New England winter, and you were like, you guys put up with this by choice?
Well, I mean, I went to Colorado, so I played in the cold weather, so I was used to it. I hated playing in Miami.
Oh, I can see that.
And that was before they didn't have the roof. They have at least a cover now.
Right.
So that sun just beat down on you, and it was a huge advantage. I never understood why the Dolphins never just had dominating run games. Just if you just had this, like, great offensive line where they could just churn up yards, you could wear teams down. And they did. Some of the games I played in, oh, my gosh, it was 3.5 yards in a cloud of dust, and it was our offense was 3 and out. It was it's the worst place to play when your offense can't get any drives going.
Andy, if I may, real quick, not to veer into TED Talk territory or all the way down TED Talk lane, but my favorite pass that Tom Brady ever threw is the one in overtime in 2003 to Troy Brown.
Yeah.
I think that's the best pass he ever threw. It was an absolute seed. How joyful was that, finally winning down there and getting that temporary proverbial monkey off your... I remember Bill threw his headphones in the air, tried to watch out as they almost landed on his head. Like, how special was that?
Yeah, it was huge. What year was that? Was that
03.
Yeah. Yeah, that was big, buddy. That was a great game. Oh my gosh, Troy, of course, just makes plays. That's all he does. That was huge. Clearly that was huge. It's interesting. You know there's a few Patriot players on their defense.
Oh yeah.
Interesting who's on there. I forgot Matthew Judon signed there in the offseason.
I'm not worried about it.
I forgot that.
Yeah. Jack Jones is on that defense.
I'm not worried about it.
And is Razul.
He said he's going to bring a special bag.
Yeah. A former Patriot as well?
Yep. Yeah, they got some guys.
I mean,
Judon 5 years ago, I might have worried about going against this offensive line. I think his best days are
their front seven is formidable. Like, it should. I mean, even though the Colts had 150 yards rushing on them, but Chop Robinson, Zach Sealer. Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips,
they're going to run right at him. It's what you said last week. Yep. They didn't do it last week, couldn't do it, wouldn't do it, whatever that gets to. I think it's quite clear from Vrabel to McDaniels to everybody, they're going to try to establish the run this week, and that'll help.
Creative. Can we be creative in our runs? Can we just not do – if you're going to be in the shotgun and just do direct reads into the A and B gaps, good luck. I mean, can we get some, like, toss sweeps going, some power pulls, some pin and pulls? Let's go. Counter OTs, that kind of thing, waggles. Let's go.
What else you got?
That's it. That's all I got.
I thought you were rolling there. I wanted to make sure you had enough runway to kind of.
Toss wide jukes, toss cracks.
Love it.
Zone wide cutbacks. Come on, let's go.
But I didn't care for the tone in it. Like, there was definitely, people have tone about this team right now. The way you said that. Can we get creative in the offense? Like, there's tone to that.
You know what? There was a huge disappointment in the outcome of week one.
The outcome?
In what we saw, it felt like it was the same old Patriots, and I think that was what we all thought. We weren't going to see the same stuff. We saw the same. We've seen this movie before, and it's the third coach in 3 years. We thought it'd be a little different, is all.
Yeah, it didn't look any different from the Alex Van Pelt offense last year, Andy. Where could you point to me on the two different, in the two different dioramas and say, oh, this is where it's different? It looked the exact same.
Well, you know what I thought looked different. If I'm just going to pick one, like, microscopic aspect, I thought made a booty. Just, like, booty running, like, a 10-yard out and just on the sideline and May hits him. Like, I'm not sure we ever saw that type of big boy NFL passing. That's like the Brandon LaFell we've talked about when he was the drive starter that 1 year. And it's like, when Tom Brady needed to get something going, he would just hit LaFell on the sideline. It's like, okay, we moved the chains. That was one aspect, only one aspect. There wasn't a lot to like about the offense. But and we're not going to go down the road of you can, prorate all of those stats for Booty over 17 games, and that's who he is. I'd like to wait and see if he can do this. But if he can do that, just be that guy that Drake May can hit on the sidelines for 10 yards when he needs to and he trusts him to, that's something they haven't had in a while. That sort of go-to guy, right? Like, that looks like a go-to combo. Do you agree, Ted? You're nodding, but I don't know if you feel on it.
You know what it was go-to about it was there at least they felt like the two of them were, the timing was on there. Like, so the timing of the in-cut, the timing of the comeback route that he hit. You're right. Like, down.
It wasn't fluky. It wasn't.
We got to start, getting more passes completed in the intermediate zone area. And that's where Booty was making his money. Not slants, but like deep in cuts.
Yep.
And deep comebacks.
Comebacks, back shoulder, like those things are, like.
And the timing of his passes to Booty were better than anybody else.
And you know who does that? Real passing games in the NFL. Like, that should be something that's an aspect of your. Because the other stuff. Hunter Henry looked pretty good. I thought he and May looked pretty good. But some of the stuff to Pop Douglas, it was like just off, just didn't look quite right. Almost like the defense wasn't stopping you. Mm-hmm. You were stopping you.
Yep.
Your timing and execution was stopping you. And that can't happen. So just that part with Booty, I feel like is a, if you're stacking them, okay, we got that. Hopefully that's something we can build off of and add Stephon Diggs or one of these guys to it. Because I do think, and May actually said it, I don't know if you listened, he said, if we don't hurt ourselves or don't stop ourselves or something like that, and I think he was alluding to some of those things, like, I can't miss a throw, Pop Douglas can't drop a ball, a guy can't be in the wrong place, we're not good enough to overcome those. We need to be more perfect in our execution, And I think that starts with them. I really, because they're not just going to run the ball to win, right? Like, as much as we want to see them establish the run, they're not going to rush for 290 yards and just run the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball if they're going to win in Miami. Is that safe?
I'm not sure about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Just run the ball.
Well, I mean, depends. The score will dictate it. I don't. You think?
Yeah, that's my point, though.
Do you think Miami's going to put a lot of points on the Patriots defense so that they are forced to have to throw the ball?
Until I see the Patriots defense not give up chunk plays, I assume they give up chunk plays. And if you're giving up chunk plays, you're probably giving up points. And that's how I go into this game. That's why I'm hoping my 3-point stance was right and Tyreek Hill is a shell of himself, because the get right game. What is it, Fitzy? A year plus. You and Schefter were on the same statistical page. The no plays of 30 yards?
Over a year since Tyreek Hill had a pass play of over 30 yards. Don't forget, 2 years ago, he cooked a very confused Marte Mapu and Christian Gonzalez on a 70-yarder. But, no, he has not been the same dynamic threat. I'm with you, though. I think if they flame out, they're 0-4, you start breaking up the team, you fire McDaniels, he is absolutely getting shipped back to Kansas City and magically will become his old former self.
But the Patriots just gave up 5 different receivers with a catch of 25 yards or more. And Tyreek Hill hasn't had a 30-yard catch in a year. Those two things feel like they cross for a guy who's due,
if he catches the ball, it's for a 5-yard and then runs for the next 40 yards? You tell me he's never had any...
Yeah, nothing. No 30-yard plays in a year.
So no catch and runs for more than 30 yards is what I'm trying to get at.
He never got the ball 30 yards downfield in any form or fashion. Air yards, ground yards, or anything in between. That means he's due. And I just don't know if I trust the Patriots' safeties. I know everybody's telling me. PFF said that Craig Woodson was the greatest safety that's ever played the game this week or whatever the hell.
was he great?
I mean, they loved him.
They loved
Ronnie Lott.
They loved him. Yeah. Ronnie Lott 2.0. Whatever. Ed Reed. It was actually a love child of Ed Reed and Ronnie Lott. That's
Kyle
what
Hamilton
was.
Actually said, if you want to take my contract, go ahead, please.
But I watched the game, and I saw Jalen Hawkins have ups and downs.
He did. He really
and
did.
I don't know who's going to be at corner. Because Gonzalez, we'll see. I'm feeling less and less good about it, so you're not going to have him out there. And I'm just going to assume they're going to shut down Waddle and Tyreek Hill because the Colts shut down Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I don't know if that works.
All right, Big Boy Pants question. Do the Patriots blitz as much this week as they did last week, or do they try to get home with a smaller package, not giving Tua as many outlets? Package of players, excuse me. And give Tua a flooded backfield to try to throw into.
Yeah, I think they will not blitz as much this week. I don't thought. What were they at?
43%.
43%. I don't think they blitz as much this week. But that goes into who's calling the defenses. I don't know if Zach Kerr blitzes as much as Terrell Williams, if Vrabel blitzes as much.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he's going to be back either.
Right. That is interesting. And the Patriots, they were successful on a lot of their blitz. They got to them for 4 sacks on those blitzes. But then they gave up a touchdown and big chunk plays too. So it's – I don't know. I think Tua, if Tua's locked in, I think blitzing him is the dumbest thing ever.
I do too.
I think just lanes open up. I would rather drop 8 and rush 3. And flood the zones and force Tua to hold the ball.
Or the flip side of that, though, is I think if you hit him early, you're well on your way to having a good defensive day against him. Like, you can, I don't want to be disrespectful, but you can rattle him. Like,
if you better get to him. And the Patriots, if you're going to blitz, if you take it, you better make it. And they were not getting to the quarterback when they blitzed last week.
617-779-7937. Where is your confidence level with the New England Patriots heading to Miami? Tough place to play. Heading to face Tua, 7-0 against the Patriots. Even Ted Johnson said it's hard to play down there. It's hot. And this Patriots team, Drake May, well, to be honest, they haven't been that good to start the season. 617-779-7937. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is 4:30. Usually he's a little earlier, but we're talking to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He went back and forth with Mike Vrabel earlier in the week about the idea of perfect plays and maybe just running it for the sake of running it. We'll talk to him about that and more up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
It's only week two, but it feels like this is a crossroads game.
Crossroads. There you are with those crossroads.
Is this a season crossroads game, potentially, for both franchises?
Yeah. I mean, there's pressure on both teams to win this game for different reasons,
so.
No doubt.
Big game. So if we have a big game, who would we rather talk to about it other than Tom Curran? Our buddy from NBC Sports Boston joining us now, Tom E. Curran with WEEI Afternoons, is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom Curran, Stiz, if you could pot him up. I don't know, he's locked on my computer for some reason. Tom, how are we doing this week?
I'm excellent, and I do agree with Ted. This is a really big game for both teams. It's not obviously playoff implications, but it is program buy-in early stages for Mike Vrabel, and they do need signs of proof of concept. And I think for Miami, I know for Miami, after last week's performance and then a week from tonight playing in Buffalo, they really shouldn't lose to a Patriots team that they were twice as good as in terms of wins and losses last year. So it's huge for Mike McDaniel's team to not lose that game.
Tom, I thought you had an interesting back and forth with Mike Vrabel yesterday, kind of along the lines of something I've been talking about, wanting to talk about, and I was glad you asked him about this whole idea of calling plays and maybe sticking with it and running the play, even if it's not the perfect defensive look, and Josh McDaniels and the rules that Drake May has to maybe get out of plays. After you left that back and forth, where I think Vrabel said something to the effect, we're not looking to say I told you so, either side of the equation.
Right.
How do you feel about that part of this early season offensive feeling out process with Josh McDaniels, Drake May, and Vrabel learning to coexist?
I think what's really good about it is that Vrabel is being so open and transparent about his concerns that it's helping us to do our job, but it's a little bit, it knocks us off our, takes us aback a little bit. And I think that Vrabel doing that does engender us to say, well, is he crushing Josh here? So I asked the question to try and get some focus on whether or not, okay, do you mean if the box is stacked and it's clear that you shouldn't run into it, you want to do it to prove a point? And he's like, no, I mean, if there's a linebacker, and this is kind of the instance he used, he paraphrased, but he said, if there's a linebacker at the second level, and he's in the area that you're going to run to, run it anyway. Maybe we can have that player be made to miss. But we have to give some faith and opportunity to the plays that are called. He was saying, don't run it if it's absolutely dead. But I think it's good, and I think it's important to get into that conversation too, because they are new as coach and fellow coach, McDaniels and Vrabel. And they're two guys who are very accomplished, probably very type A, very accustomed to orchestrating things in their way, so they have to find a way to get their gears to mesh nicely together and not grind.
Tom, you're a fan of J.J. McCarthy's, as am I. He has a huge comeback win. And some of what his teammates were saying, defensive tackle Javon Hargrave said that J.J. said to him, even after a horrible first half, that he's got us, don't worry about it. Kevin O'Connell said that J.J. had this unbelievable look in his eyes at halftime and said that they don't win that game without J.J. Justin Jefferson says, we knew we had some dog in him when it comes to J.J. It's do you being a fan of JJ McCarthy, is it part of those kind of tangible leadership, gutsy, clutch kind of things that attracts you to his game? And is that, you know, maybe something that is missing from Drake May's game? Like, when you look at the two players, how do you differentiate the JJ to Drake?
I think that J.J. McCarthy was put into a pigeonhole that when I really started watching him, I'm like, he doesn't fit that. He has plenty of arm. He actually has more than enough arm. He doesn't have a lot of nuance to the shape of his throws, but he has extremely strong arm. I would say it's as strong as Drake May's if you wanted to say velocity. But he needs to get a little more touch, but I do think that he's just as fast as Drake May. Obviously, he's not as big, but I think he can bring you a dual threat opportunity, and he played at the highest level and had great success. So I'm looking at a guy who religiously moves the chains, who's won a national championship, was very accurate, I thought, and had all the arm strength. So that's why I like J.J. McCarthy. I didn't necessarily like J.J. McCarthy at three. I thought the Patriots should have traded back because they had so many needs and taken J.J. McCarthy, in theory, hypothetically, around 11, if they traded down with the Vikings, got their 11th and 21st. That ship has sailed. But I do think there's more than one way to skin a cat. Peyton Manning wasn't like Tom Brady. Tom Brady wasn't like Patrick Mahomes. All these guys are very different. And I don't think that Drake May's attitude or bedside manner, sideline manner, is going to necessarily limit the Patriots from winning. He's not like Jay Cutler and seems disenchanted or disengaged. He's not annoying. Kirk Cousins is a little annoying. I think that Drake May is going to be fine. He just needs to somehow at 22 start getting his brain to operate like a 28 or 29-year-old's. He's just has a very busy brain.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tom. I love J.J. McCarthy coming out of Michigan, and I think the kid's a winner as well. And I think the reason why fans in this area especially wanted to make the comp like Ted was alluding to was because of the fiery demeanor, the ferocity with which he played in the fourth quarter, the manner in which he behaved after the game. And I think fans...
You know who else did that, though? Here's the thing. Scott Zolak did that. And he was a really talented, big, strong-armed son of a biscuit shooter who had probably as much arm right now as anybody else in the NFL today. He could probably walk out there and throw it as hard as most of them. But there's, you know, Scott was fiery, but you have to combine all the things. I love fiery guys. I thought Brady was, but can you figure out where the friggin' ball is supposed to go first and then worry about firing guys up on the sideline? I don't want to get to the point where I'm like, oh, Drake May doesn't talk to his players enough. And J.J. McCarthy does, because sometimes those guys could go right up your friggin' chimney with a shut up. Just go do your job. Stop worrying about screaming at me over here.
Oh, Fitzy, sorry. I thought you had a follow-up question
there. I was going to sort of leave.
The original question.
As far as a follow-up, sure. I got a quick one, Andy. Thank you. Tom, rapid fire. The first thing you think will look significantly better for the Patriots Sunday, and now that they'll put all the work in, first thing that's going to look significantly better Sunday will be?
DeMario Douglas.
Ooh. Oh, good one. I like that.
Hope so.
Let's two catches minus 2 yards. You can't exist like that.
Seven targets, Tom. Seven targets, only two catches.
Yeah, can't have that.
Okay. Want to go to the other side of the wide receiver equation? Do you want to take a victory lap? Because I heard you blowing some severe smoke up the booty before the season started, and he comes out, he averages 17 yards a catch. He's got 100 yards. Is that sustainable? Is that not that those numbers specifically, but do the Patriots have what looks like a number one wide receiver?
The Patriots have their number one wide receiver. I don't know if he would be the number one on any of the other 32 teams, 31. But he certainly can be passable on a team that is, you know, challenged at the wide receiver position. Can you take away Kayshon Booty, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, you can. He's not Davante Adams. He's not Justin Jefferson. If you want to stop Kayshon Booty, I'm sure that you could do that. But he still will catch the ball. He does get separation. He is solidly built. For a guy his size and weight, he's kind of a heavy fella, strong. So he's going to get open. He's going to get separation. He always catches the ball, in my estimation. Folks can seize on the times that they've seen him drop it. I've watched him in practice, as you have you guys all. He makes some absolutely insane catches, and he does it so religiously. And his body control is so good that I've been saying it since his rookie year, that his body control, his hands are top level. And if he can go to the right spot, keep his ego in check, he can have a long career.
Yeah, I liked his comments after the game, too, just expecting more from an emotional standpoint to come out in the second half. You know, maybe taking a leadership role, too, so interesting stuff. But, Tom, I want to ask you about Terrell Williams taking a few days away from the team for undisclosed reasons. He was, had some health issues earlier in the summer. He's missed a lot of time. Is this something that the Patriots should be concerned about? Because, you know, do they have – the middle linebacker coach, Zach Kerr is going to maybe take over play calling duties like he did in training camp. Are they worried about that? Is that something they should be worried about if Terrell isn't able to be as present with this team as maybe they thought he could be?
It's a great question. I do think the coaches and coordinators are actually underrated in the league. And you can't just swap one guy for another and not think it's going to be a problem. You know, Bill swapping in for Adrian Clem to go coach the offensive line, and the size of the coaching staff for the last few years under Bill, it really showed you how important it is to have as many lieutenants as you can. All that said, the preference would be, as it is with any starter and backup, the preference would be to have your starter there, Terrell Williams. And does that mean that Zach Kerr and Mike Vrabel can't combine to do it, or that the other position coaches can't pitch in and the group can do a good job? Absolutely. Does not mean that. But it's always better to have the plan that you put on paper, you know, be able to follow it. So it's a namby-pamby, sitting on the fence answer, but I don't know how much it's going to impact them. I did not love the scheme last week. I don't know if that was a byproduct of the personnel they had available to them. I just don't think that you want to try and blitz Geno Smith as often as they did, especially when in the very recent past, Geno Smith took this exact team and put it over his knee because they blitzed him too much. So I thought that was a bad idea. And even though they only allowed 20 points, probably could have been less.
Tom, I saw Kyle Williams and Efton Chisholm running scout team this week at the practices, if I'm to believe the socials I saw. Any chance we see those guys, if Efton Chisholm would be active this week, more involved in the game plan as well?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to come down to, usually what that comes down to, Fitzy, as you know, is who do we need in the kicking game? Who do we need in the linebacker group? Where are we at the cornerback group? If we just released DJ James and Christian Gonzalez is out, so it gets down to that level of, you know, what do we need at that position? Do we need an extra wideout because they might be hot, sweaty, tired? So it really comes down to that. I would say anything is possible in terms of when you get down to the spots between 45 and 53. So I got no prediction.
Tom, you just mentioned his name. What the hell's going on with Christian Gonzalez? What, like, did this the worst hamstring pull in the history of hamstring pulls?
The hamstring.
He had a hamstring transplant. Did
Good
you say
Lord.
That?
Don't you said, did they save the leg?
Did you say hamstring transplant?
Yeah, honestly, God.
Yeah, he's going to have to. I don't know. It's the world's worst hamstring pull. You would think that with a hamstring pull like that, you would have seen it roll up like Ted's bicep back in 1998. But it did not.
And
was it 98, Ted?
98 and 99, but yeah, 98, week 12.
But who's counting?
Yeah. Just rolling up like a lampshade.
So should we be concerned, Tom? Like, is this, because I've heard your boys on Tuesdays, Tommy Tuesdays with Jones and Keefe, they keep talking about contract. Is there something going on behind the scenes? Like, and there's no information. The one positive spin I put on this earlier.
No, there's no information.
Isn't that a good thing? Vrabel's gotten rid of all the rats. There's no information coming out about the Gonzo hamstring, but just the 6 weeks without seeing him is starting to be concerning.
Yeah, I mean, this is the world's worst hamstring injury. It did not look like it at the time. No one has said that it's been exacerbated. So it's only going to continue to create the question of, well, why is it taking so long? Is he being really tender about it and trying to get it to 100%? Mike said that's not the case last week. Mike's emphasized that he's engaged. The only thing, the only breadcrumb that we have is when he was asked about Christian Gonzalez and his expectations for him this year. He spent zero time talking about on-field expectations and all his time in a one-minute answer talking about what players need to understand about accomplishing things for themselves and getting their contracts and their brands jump-started early in their careers and how they also have to meet the team halfway. The team will do what it can to make sure that the player is taken care of. Meanwhile, the player has to meet the team halfway. I don't know if that's a wild coincidence that in a question about Christian Gonzalez, Mike went into that conversation, but there would be no quote from the preseason prior to him being injured that would fit better this conversation about Christian Gonzalez when we wonder where the hell is he?
Tom, I got one more question for you because
I got all the time in the world.
Okay, you got a little bit. Just give me 1 minute on Bill Belichick. Bill's come out and he's responded, which is always kind of surprising that he's showing his hand more, but he's responded to the rumors that he wasn't allowing Patriot scouts into the facility, and he told you why, because he feels like he isn't welcome here. For trademark office denies 4 applications filed by him and his girlfriend Jordan Hudson. I mean, kind of a rough week for Bill. Just your thoughts on Bill's response to all these reports.
You know how that term gaslighting has kind of come to light in the last 7 or 8 years? Actually, came from a play back in like the 40s or 50s. It was the first time it was used. But the term gaslighting, people are like, what the hell? What does it even mean? What Bill did there was the very definition of gaslighting. He's insisting something is a fact that is known to not be a fact, that it makes you in turn, as the listener, question whether or not what you know to be true is actually true. So when Bill says, I'm not welcome there, he's asking the entire region to suspend memory of last offseason when 70,000 people stood on their feet and cheered him and the crafts were giddy to have him back.
Yep.
I mean, I was he's there. Welcome here.
Nobody sat down. So, they all gave him a long ovation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bill is welcome here. Do they like him? Do they like what he did to the football team in terms of personnel? And do they like the way that things closed? Absolutely not. Did they tell him, that's enough out of you? Can we have your whistle, please? Yes, they did. If you want to present that as unwelcome, better to say, well, they fired me. And they haven't stopped making comments about how bad I did since I left. So I don't want to go there. So they're being mean to me, so I'm going to be mean to them. That's the crux of it.
So that's the mature situation we find ourselves in.
Very mature way to go.
Very, very mature. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Tom, enjoy week 2. Are we predicting a bounce-back win for the Patriots here?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't know.
0-2, according to you. All right, Tom, thanks. We'll see if you're right next week.
I don't think so. Look, I just talked to here. Check my pod out, Tom Connors Patriots Talk podcast. I had a kid named Marcel Louis Jacques. He is with ESPN, and he was terrific. And he really did a good job laying out how just where Miami is right now and how Miami really, 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 really friggin' has to win this game. And it's not like they played great, the Patriots, last week. So I need proof of concept before I say the Patriots are going to go and win a game.
All right, Tom. We'll see if we get it this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, guys. See ya.
See you, Tom.
See ya.
Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When we come back, we'll talk about Tom Curran and his thoughts on the Patriots offense, Mike Vrabel, and everything that's going on that side of the ball. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Are we predicting a bounce-back win for the Patriots here?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so. Wow.
I don't think so. Where Miami is right now and how Miami really, 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 really friggin' has to win this game. And it's not like they played great, the Patriots, last week. So I need proof of concept before I say the Patriots are going to go and win a game.
That was Tom Curran moments ago, WEEI Afternoons. If you missed it, want to listen to it, Odyssey app, download it now.
Who do you got winning this game? Since you're asking everybody who they think and you don't like their answers, who do you think is going
to
win?
Want me to save it for tomorrow?
No, I want to know right now.
Okay, Dolphins.
Okay.
I think you're picking the Dolphins?
I'm absolutely picking the Dolphins. I think they are a desperate team, and I think they also have some talent. I think Tua has shown you he can beat you. I think they have two wide receivers. You just gave up 200-yard receivers, essentially. Can you deal with these wide receivers? Can you tackle? Can you make some plays? Or are they going to score on you? Is Drake May, who we're questioning his it, is he a deer in headlights? Is there too much pressure on him, too much on his plate? Oh, too much on your plate. Where's the worst place you could go based on Patriots history? Miami. Right? Miami was too much for Tom Brady. Now, it was Jason Taylor and all those guys, too, but...
There's also Jay Fiedler.
I just don't love the spot. I was actually going to ask you, Ted. Do you, in your experience, college, everything, 20 years of football, does desperation matter? The theory, we do this all the time in the media. Oh, the desperate football team. That's a desperate. Does desperation matter in a football game?
It can, yes, it can. So, I don't. You know, is it, are the Dolphins desperate to win the game to save the job of their coach? Is that why they're so desperate?
Or just to save a season? Like, I mean, if you're a veteran player, you don't want to waste a season, right? Like, you don't want it going down the crapper in week two.
No, definitely not. I don't know what all the – what. Why are they more urgent than the Patriots? They're both 0-1.
Because of – they have their quarterback, supposedly. They have their coach, supposedly. They have two of the best receivers in the NFL, supposedly. A couple years ago, they were thought of as the next big offensive thing, fun, fast, turf. And now it could all be blown up, and they're all looking for jobs and careers and futures.
Yeah, yeah. There might be some discord. They might not be happy with their coach, and if they don't like their coach, sometimes you'll see teams perform in a way that would suggest that they don't like playing for their coach.
So they could roll over.
That's one guess. But then another one is: have you seen the stats of Tua? The last three home games, the Patriots have gone down to Miami and played down there. His stats for three games against the Patriots, the last three home games the Patriots played there, one in November last year, October 2023, September 2022. Tua is 82-111 for 911 yards and 8 touchdowns.
It's like Steve Young.
Against the Patriots in the last 3 years. 8 touchdowns, 911 yards, 82 for 118.
But... I mean, there's multiple coaching staffs there, a bunch of different players. Like, that's kind of – now, it's the same system, I guess.
No, it's the same coach the last 3 years for the Dolphins.
No, I'm talking about for the Patriots.
My bad.
I mean,
different
theoretically,
the system
stayed the same defensively with Mayo and Covington taking over for Belichick.
I see what you're saying.
This is the third coach in 3 years to represent the Patriots at Hard Rock.
Vrabel's also 0-2 against Tua, I believe.
Yeah. And also, Andy, how about this? Let's flash forward to Monday, September 22nd. Patriots lose in Miami, and then they lose. I don't feel great about Steelers at Patriots. How's everything going to be around here when it's the Vrabel era off to an 0-3 start?
Yeah, not great. Not great. But the flip side is also true. You could go down and win in Miami, and you can have the Vrabel saying, that's a tough place to play. That's a good win. This team showed resiliency. We went on the road after a tough opener. Like, it could go the other way, and all of a sudden you're 1-1 with a nice road win and a tough place to play, and the ship is kind of straightened out, going in the right direction. So that's why I do think, I mean, we joke about the crossroads, but Fitzy's right. You go 0-2 in Miami, and you're staring down an 0-3, 0-4, who knows how far it goes. That's different than 1-1, and you can go... and just take a breath for a minute and figure out where you're going. So this is a a big must-win football game for both teams, but I guess I'm on the record now with Tom Curran. I'm taking the Dolphins. I'll tell you the score tomorrow when we're at Fenway Park, but yes, I'll be picking the Dolphins. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 5 o'clock. That means it's time for The Drive, where we hear from Adam Schefter, who had some very, very, very nice things to say about Drake May. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.